everyone, welcome to the Wit Girls podcast. I'm your host, Lise Rasmussen. WIT stands for Women in Tech, but this podcast is not only for women. It's for anyone who wants to learn about the latest news and experiences from working with the Microsoft 365 cloud services and apps, and with a special focus on SharePoint and Teams. I believe that sharing is caring. Let's get this show started. Welcome to episode 59 of WIT Girls podcast. Today is the 28th of October and it's dark and rainy here in Stockholm, Sweden, which I enjoy actually. I hope you all are well out there. You who listen to this podcast regularly knows that I have a big music interest. And now when the pandemic regulations are gone, we can go back to concerts as usual. And I have already been to a couple and they were amazing. It felt so good to be back in the clubs again, watching bands live. It gives me so much energy. The only thing I have missed is one site that gathers all gigs. Now you have to go to that site or that Facebook page and you have to try to search for upcoming gigs when it comes to alternative music like I listen to. So for a long time, I've had the idea to create a site that will roll up all those gigs in one place. And now I have finally built that site. So if you go to alternativegigs.com, you will see a list of the coming gigs here in Stockholm. Only that for now, unfortunately. I might expand later, but now it's only in Stockholm. So you can search gigs by genre. For example, if you want to go to a synth or goth or metal concert, and you can search by date and location and so on. I have actually included Power Automate in my site. So I have built a flow that scans some RSS feeds and automatically posts to my WordPress site into a post that becomes drafts, so I can get as much information as possible from the upcoming gigs without having to type it manually. And this works great. So if you are interested in alternative music and gigs, give my site a visit and hope to see you at the gigs somewhere soon. This autumn, I started my new assignment at H&M, and I love working there and with my team. They are so great. And one of my team members is actually Göran Husman. I'm so happy to finally get to work with him. We have known each other for so long, but never worked together in an assignment like this. And he's great to have as a colleague. I interviewed him in episode 56. Where we talked about his background and the CEF conference he organizes, which is a Microsoft 365 conference here in Sweden. The conference will take off in January next year, and I'm one of the speakers, which I really look forward to. It was great fun the last time, and I'm so happy that the conference is on location, physically, and not online. So we can meet and greet and have fun together. So go to seforum.se and register for this conference. I will add a link in the show notes and hope to see you there. Another person I met at H&M is Marie Nordström. And she is a real citizen developer. I've talked about this many times in this podcast that I don't really know if there are any proper citizen developers out there, because who has time to do it, and yeah, the creativity and also taking the initiative to build apps on their own. So I was very impressed by her when we had this meeting, and she talked about how she started building apps for processes that she found needed some change. And you can hear our talk later in this episode, after some of the latest news from the Microsoft 365 world. So let's start with some SharePoint news. And this is one news that's coming. And that is the new improved move and copy user experience that you will have in both OneDrive and in SharePoint. So you know when you select files today and you want to move them, it's just a panel out to the right that opens. It's quite hard to navigate inside and get the overview where you want to move the files. So now they will pop up a whole new window instead. So you can easily see where you want to move your files, you can choose folders much easier. And yeah, you will have just a nicer experience when moving files. I have not yet gotten this in my tenant, and it is what it is. We never know when things are coming up. And of course, we have Microsoft Ignite around the corner. I hope you have registered for that. It's the 2nd to 4th of November, and I have signed up, and I really look forward to all the news that they will pump out when these conferences take place. This is the largest Microsoft conference. So if you have not registered, I suggest you do that now. It's online and free. And you can, of course, watch the sessions afterwards. They will be available on demand. But I know that a lot of things are happening around Ignite, so some all of a sudden things can happen in your tenant and so on, and maybe things are being a little bit delayed now because of that. I don't know, because some of these news I've read about a long time, but they have not still been implemented. SharePoint site template management updates. So they are making some updates to the SharePoint site template gallery. You know, when you're on a site, you click on the settings wheel and you can choose to apply a site template. Now you will not only see the Microsoft provider templates, you can also choose which one of those you would like to expose. Maybe you don't want all those templates to be available for your SharePoint site creators. So you can choose which ones you would like to display in that selection. But there will soon be a PowerShell commandlet available where you can choose to display or hide the Microsoft provided templates. The SharePoint app bar. You know the left-hand side menu we got a while ago? They said that we would be able to disable it only until October, I think. But now they have extended that option. So if you don't wish to display that SharePoint global navigation bar that's to the left, you know, where you have the mega menu, you have your personalized content like your documents and recent sites and so on, you can choose to disable that until March 31 next year. So while the app bar is integrated into your SharePoint experience, some customers would like to disable the app bar and not show it until maybe they have enabled Viva connections and something. This is a great news. In lists, you will be able to comment and at mention people on list items in Teams. So if you are collaborating on a list in a Teams channel, you can now make comments within Teams itself, so you don't need to go into list to do this. And the comments will stay with the list item, and you can also view them in lists on the web. So of course you can see the comments whether you're using lists the app or if you're using lists inside of Teams. If you mention a user, as usual, the user will be notified via email. And the person who receives the notification can click a link that will take them directly to this list item. And comments will follow the same permissions as they have when they're using lists on the web. So people with read permission will only be able to view comments, whereas people with edit permissions, they will be, of course, able to add or delete comments. And list owners can actually turn off comments for individual lists by using the list settings page. There is also a PowerShell commandlet for this to disable commenting on list items for the entire organization if you do not wish to have comment options on lists. Something I got today is the Hub to Hub Association. So I checked on my mega menu because I have two hubs in my tenant. I have one intranet hub and I have a project hub. And if you go to SharePoint Admin Center and you filter out on your hubs in the active sites view, and if I went into my project hub and clicked on the information button about that site, I now have the option to select a parent hub association. So now I have connected my project hub with my main intranet hub. And you need to do this from the SharePoint Admin Center. And then when I went into my main hub, the intranet site, I edited my Miaga menu and wanted to add a new link. I have two new choices there. Before we only had link and label, but now we have two new options, associated hubs and associated child hubs. So I selected associated hubs and I had to type in the name of my hub. Would be nice if I got a drop down actually, so I could choose what hub I wanted to connect. Maybe you have many and you can make typos, and yeah, it's strange that you need to write in the name of the hub. But I did that. I typed in project hub, and when I clicked on save, the new link was added into my Miaga menu and the link into that hub. You can also associate child hubs. So if you have sites connected to, for instance, this project hub, you could add the name of that straight into the Miaga menu. And what comes with that is also that you can search across your associated hubs and so on. I think this is nice because maybe you would like to roll up different content on different hubs. You don't want one hub for everything. So this is a great new feature. Moving over to Teams. I have gotten Viva Learning in my Teams now, and I'm using Viva Insights. I like those apps a lot. Viva Connections I already have, of course. Viva Learning is a new learning portal where you can add your own learning materials, such as stream videos or learning pathways or information coming from everywhere. You can connect into this Viva Learning portal. And the Viva Insight is your mindfulness app. You have the option to block certain times in your calendar, for instance, where you don't want people to be able to book meetings with you, because sometimes we just need to work and focus on things. And then it's nice to block those times in your calendar. You also have some mood icons where you can say if you feel good, you feel bad. But this is your own page with your own mindfulness things, right? So no one else has access to this. This is your personal page. And you can stay connected with people. You have a list of colleagues that you may not have been contacting in a while. So you will get some sort of reminder to. So I think this is a great app actually. And you should pin it in your Teams and give yourself some space to think and reflect. I have a quick tip for you. If you want to take part of unreleased features in Teams a bit earlier than when they are rolling out into your organization, then you can switch your Teams client into public preview. And public preview allows you to explore and test upcoming features. So to enable public preview on your desktop or web client, you just have to click on the three dots that's to the left of your profile picture in Teams. And on the About menu, you have an option called Public Preview. So I suggest you do that. I got, for instance, those new presentation mode options. When you're sharing a screen, you have four different presentation options. So you can either hover above the presentation, so you will be like cut out in front of the presentation, which is really nice. And you can have side by side the things you're presenting. And you can also have the reporter mode, where you are a little bit larger in front of the content and you can have a background, for instance, your company background and something. And then the things you're presenting are a little bit smaller window. So you have these four options to present in different modes, which are really nice and makes a bit more fun to watch also when you're presenting. It's more clear who is holding the presentation. There are also some options when you are using PowerPoint Live. Beneath that window when you are presenting, you can now have a laser pointer, so you can write and draw inside the presentation, so people easier can see where you are pointing at or what you are talking about. You can also do the same with your mouse, and you have some other highlight pens and so on. You can also turn off the ability for other participants to scroll back and forth in your presentation. And what's best with PowerPoint Live is, of course, if you are several presenters, that they can take control themselves. They don't have to say, switch to the next slide, please. Another great news is the breakout rooms options that you can set before you start the meeting. So as of now, we have running these breakout rooms ad hoc during the meeting. So you add people into different rooms during when you have the meeting. But now you can prepare this. So you can set up the different rooms. You can add the participants into these rooms, and you can add your presenters and moderators. So you can set everything up before you start a meeting. That can be nice, especially if there are many participants and the stress fact, you know, when you're sitting there. And yeah, it's really nice to be able to do these things ahead so that you can prepare your meeting better. You can now use a background image on your Teams app in the mobile phone. We have not been able to do that. I'm still waiting for that same functionality in Teams on the web. I also look forward to the filtering functions that's coming. They may have more with lights to do rather than that you can turn into a cat, or maybe it looks like you have fixed yourself, put on makeup, made your hair. Maybe you have some nice clothes on, but it's just a filter. But you can also hope that that filter doesn't stop working, so all of a sudden you're exposed behind the filter and you sit there without your makeup and your hair in a bun and just maybe wearing, I don't know, a bra or something. That could be a shock to your meeting participants, but it would be cool to have like Snapchat filters or something, or maybe not that extreme, but you know what I mean, like you can look a little bit better, because I think the cameras, at least the camera I have my camera down at the bottom of the screen. That's the most stupid things ever. But it would be good to have some better camera options, unless you maybe buy a better camera yourself. But the built-in cameras, I mean, in the laptops at least. Yeah, and maybe you should put filter on when people are talking too much also, like I'm doing now. So I'm gonna stop talking about news and instead head over into the interview with Marie Nordström. You are listening to the WIT Girls podcast. If you like us, we would be so happy if you could give us a 5-star rate in iTunes. It helps us reach more listeners. Thank you for listening. Welcome to the show, Marie Nordström. We met for the first time in a Teams meeting a month ago, approximately, and I immediately felt your energy and your passion for Microsoft 365, and I knew I just had to interview you, so very happy to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm very, very pleased to be here, and it's lovely to meet you as well.
Thank you. Can you please tell us where you are located and what your position is at H&M?
So I'm currently located in Hong Kong, sitting in the Asia hub that we have here, an APAC hub, working in business tech as a regional product lead and now for colleague and corporate support side.
You are Swedish and you worked at H&M in Sweden. And how come you ended up in Hong Kong? That sounds really cool.
Yes. Well, I've been with the H&M for a very long time. I started in 1999. Wow. When I walked into one of the stores in Stockholm and asked for work, basically I applied for work in there, and I worked my way through the company, have various positions, and the first time I ended up in Hong Kong was because I had a position as a buyer in the ladies' underwear department, and I was doing a lot of my own product development for the different products that I was buying. And I saw that there was a gap in a position. We needed to have a product developer who was dedicated to developing new treatments and prints and other things for us buyers. Wow. to so that we didn't have to spend so much time on it. So I sent a proposal to the office manager that was sitting out here in Hong Kong at the time, Eva Bai, and I gave a proposal for a new job role, basically. And she was actually really excited to receive this proposal. And she said, well, give me a few weeks. This is really interesting. I will come back to you. And then she came back to me and she offered me a job as a product developer.
Wow.
in in Hong Kong. But then I was becoming product developer for accessories. But it's sort of how my first sort of how I first got to Hong Kong and how I started my career here in Hong Kong. And then it's just developed. And like I said, I've been so long with the company, had various roles within the organization. So my road to IT has really been through, you know, just understanding the organization. And then I ended up applying for an internal role that was sort of developing systems and tools supporting everything else but the product flow.
That's a fantastic story, and that sounds to me like the perfect way of becoming a citizen developer. Could you please tell us why you started working with the Power Platform and building apps, and what was the purpose with the app?
Yeah, great questions. So I think it all started with me as like my personality. I have a very big passion for like structure and processes in general, and like to organize things. So that's like part of my personality trait. And then also H&M was going through a transformation. And I thought to myself, okay, how can I be a positive part of this transformation, and what can I do to sort of put myself into a position where not only with my experience within the company, but like really be in the forefront of this change. So then I knew that we were taking steps and really immersing ourselves into the Microsoft applications and tools. That was quite new for us at the time. And I said, I'm going to be an expert at this. I want to be an expert, and I want to be a person that people can come to and ask questions, and I will help them. So that was sort of my initial personal transformation as well, to really learn and teach myself. I had, of course, a lot of good coaching from Microsoft experts within the company, but that was sort of my own onboarding into what I wanted to do. And then since I've been working since a very long time within H&M Group, I also have a great understanding into the company, into the different processes and different parts of the organization. But working here in Hong Kong as well, I saw that we are a global office here in Hong Kong. And the colleagues that I work with, they have a need to sort of have this global overview of things that are going on in our organization. So one day I got an idea, and I wrote to David Sadman, who was sitting here then as a head of production out here, head of group production. And I saw on his desk and on Fredrik's desk that there was a lot of PowerPoint presentations. And these PowerPoint presentations was summaries from all the regions and different functions and about everything that was going on in the organization. And I thought to myself, why don't we take all that information and put it into the SharePoint list and create an overview in Power BI? Because this is what I've learned through my own sort of onboarding into the Microsoft world. So I wrote to David and Fredrik a proposal, and I thought, why don't we look into doing something like this? We can probably build an app and get this automated, and you know, you can get a great overview. And instead of having all these printouts, we can just, you can look at this dashboard. And also it will give you another kind of summary and overview, and you can do a lot more analytics on this. So that's sort of how it started.
Wow. That's really impressive, just to have that idea and just not knowing how these tools works and just, maybe I can do something with this. I really love it. And I love that you are so creative.
And just to give you a little bit more onto that whole journey was that when I gave this proposal, I had never built an app before in my life. So I hadn't, that was like also a thing that I had this idea, and I said to my my coach and great mentor, I have to say, Claes Söderström, who's working in H&M Group.
Yes, he's in my team.
And I said, can we do this? Like, can we do this? And it's like, yes, okay. So we got the budget for Claes to come to Hong Kong, and we sat in a conference room for 3 days or for almost a week, and we built together. And this was like my first experience to learn how to build a power app.
Wow.
So we had this idea, and then we worked with the global teams, and then we sat in the conference rooms from early morning to late night, and we just, built this app together. So that was like in my first experience, and it was really like this like It was a great experience, and it's like we learned so much. And I think what was so fantastic is that when we rolled this out to 13, 14 different production countries that we had and to this big organization, was that it was very smooth. The app that we built was quite intuitive. It was easy for people to understand how to input the data. And then the output was this amazing Power BI report where we instantly got a good overview of what's going on. We could see status updates, and you could get sort of a red light, green light understanding of what was happening. So yeah, it was super.
What is the app's purpose? What type of data are they entering into the app? Where does data come from, and who is managing the app?
Yeah, good question. We have different layers in our organization. We have global parts of organization, and we also have regional parts. So we needed to connect these parts as well. And we set, so the app is sort of based on our goals or where we're heading, and then we connect different activities to reach these goals. So that was sort of the foundation for this app, was to, okay, how can we visualize this? And also, how can we make sure that we connect the global to the regional side? So that is basically the data that we're collecting through this app, is the global ambition that we have, and then connecting it to what's going on in the region to reach this. So that was sort of the purpose and the way this app is built.
The data, where do you store it? Is it in SharePoint, or?
We have built it in a Power App. We have a Power App interface with different entry points then, depending on where you sit. Also, the global and the regional are connected. So when you initiate a global goal or activity, then the regions that go in and into their part of the app, they can pick up and connect their regional activity to the global. And it's all connected then in a SharePoint list that is then connected to a Power BI report.
Cool. So tell me, Marie, how was it when you began working with this? How long did it take for you to get into, you know, the PowerFX language, or setting up screens and understanding the concept of Power Apps?
So like I said, it was a very fast onboarding experience for me.
Yeah.
We were having like a 5-day crash course, basically, exploring. And also, I think Klaus learned a few new things along the way as well. But I think the fundamentals of how the Power App environment is set up, it's sort of, for me, it's like having a PowerPoint experience almost. And you have these amazing preset tools. And so I would say it's quite intuitive. Obviously, it's still a sort of a coding language, but it's a much more, I would say, scaled down coding language. So once you learn a little bit about the logics, then I think it's quite easy to sort of continue. But so it took me the week, and of course I haven't stopped there. So once we were done with this one, I saw a lot of other opportunities out in the organization of things that we could do with the same foundation, having a Power App interface, collecting to a SharePoint, and then publishing this in a Power BI. So there's been a lot of apps created follow this.
Are they using it on mobile devices, or are these people mostly using this from a computer when they enter in data into the Power App?
Yeah, so for the ones that the app that we built for group production was published on a SharePoint page, a communication site, where we also had a lot of other great information that we could publish in relation to this. So it was also one way to collect data, but also a way to communicate to the organization about the goals and key activity. We also had the report published in this space as well. So it was a desktop version then. But then we have other apps that have been built for mobile purposes. Whereabouts, which was launched when we had a flexible workspace, for example, we had a Whereabouts app. But then that was more embedded in the mobile environment, because that's how the user would use it.
So I can imagine that this has saved a lot of work and made their life more easy. And what was the response when you launched this app? What was the response from your colleagues or the people who were supposed to use this app?
Yeah, I think it's been great response, actually. Obviously, there's different knowledge levels in terms of how to utilize certain Microsoft applications. I think most people were just getting used to Teams in our organization and maybe understanding SharePoint, how everything connects. But I think once the user saw like what an output we got from putting the data into to this Power App environment instead of putting the information in a PPT, I think it was a great response because they could really see, oh, wow, now we're getting a much different overview that we never had before. Mm. So I think that, to have a transparency like that across such a vast organization was super, and it's just been positive.
I can imagine. And as soon as you get data into a list or into a Power BI report and you visualize it in a way that it has such a big effect, I think, on the data instead of having a lot of PowerPoints, which you can't really get the overview from, of course. There's no statistics involved in that. It's just presentation layer. So that must have really had a positive effect.
Exactly. And I think we started off by having this report where people could transparently go in and see what is happening 24/7. They had access to this information at any time. And I think the beauty of then adding on the next layer could then be to add on these notifications instead. And instead of searching for information, you would get a notification when a goal is reached or when something has happened that you should be aware about. And that's really like the next step into how the data can talk to you.
Have you looked into Power Automate then? It sounds like you are into maybe that, looking into that.
Yeah, so I have some apps and applications that I've built as well that's been with the help of Power Automate. Me and Claes also built succession planning apps, both for group production and for H&M Group. And there we used Power Automate to send off emails and notify when they've submitted information. So it's also been really fun to explore that part and super interesting.
This all sounds amazing. I'm just wondering, how do you find time within your position to create the apps? I mean, I'm sure this was not in your job role description when you got the job, but how has the managers allowed you to build these apps and take the time to learn and to set it up and so on?
Yeah, so good. And I'm so glad that you asked that because I feel like that's really the characteristics of H&M Group and my journey through this company as a whole. There's always been so much support and support from my managers, support from the organization, and I would say also the opportunity to be able to be a part of something that might not fall directly into my job role. So if there is something that you believe in, you see a need, you see an opportunity, and if you're able to present a business case or, you know, the idea, then you get the backing. And my managers have given me time and trust and really supported me along the way to be able to do this. So I think that's has helped me, and I've been able to then dedicate time outside my role and my scope with any app actually that I have built so far has been outside of my current workload. But we have also seen that there is a lot of opportunities and efficiency gains by doing so. So
that's an amazing employer that allows you to do that, because I know that they can see that they will of course gain things from letting you do this apps and to have that freedom that you can do that. So that's really cool. So I was wondering, what is your next big project here then, if you want to tell us?
It's been a while now since I built an app, but I'm currently in collaboration with the business tech team to set up a roadmap for business tech. Again, it's very similar, I would say, in terms of the logic that we built the first app on. We're trying to get a good overview of everything that's going on in our operational teams or in our business tech teams, but also how that is sort of reaching our operational side of our organization. So it's a very similar tool, but now we have to set it up and scale it up for the whole business tech organization.
That's impressive. Are people using it in Teams also? Are they adding your apps into Teams?
Not that I know, actually, as of now. I did build a rollout and change sort of overview, but it wasn't an app, but it was a SharePoint list embedded in a Teams, but then it generated the report. So the only layer that we didn't add was the Power App interface, but okay. It was embedded in the Teams site. Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show and talking about your career and your fantastic work with these apps. And I'm really impressed and I love your energy. So I'm so happy you could join us today and share your story. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me, for having this opportunity to share. Like I said, I have so much passion for Microsoft in general, all the great things that you can do. And I really see there's so much opportunity still out there in terms of efficiency, how we can collaborate and just make things so much more fun to work with in our daily work. So yeah, I have many more apps to build, I'm sure.
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you so much and good luck on your continued work with Power Platform.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the With Girls podcast. If you like the show, I would be so happy if you would rate and subscribe to it in iTunes, Spotify, Podcaster, or any other podcast app you use. It means a lot to me as it helps me reach more listeners. If you have any feedback, questions, or guest suggestions, you can contact me on withgirlspod@gmail.com. You can follow the podcast on Instagram on the account @withgirlspod or visit withgirlspodcast.podbean.com. The music theme is made by Mikael Weisflog. Take care, cheers!